Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the observation deck here at Car Talk Plaza. Wow! Don't the fall colors just take your breath away?
I mean, isn't it too bad that we're not on TV? Then everyone could see them. I mean, look at the oranges, reds, yellows. There's even a little hint of chrome here and there.
Chrome? You're looking at the rust in your car, you knucklehead. The trees are over there. All right, just go right to the mail, will you?
All right, actually, This comes by way of the internet, I think, thanks to Ken Okuno, actually, who does nothing at his work all day except surf the internet and make copies of stuff like this. I hope his boss is listening.
He's going to lose his job.
These are observations made by junior high school and high school and college students. It is truly astonishing what weird science our young scholars can create under the pressures of time and grades. And these are actual, taken right out of the exam questions.
Okay.
Here they are. You ready for this?
I can't wait.
When you smell an odorless gas, it's probably carbon monoxide. When you smell an odorless gas, it's probably carbon monoxide. Here's another one. Blood... Blood flows down one leg and up the other. How does it get from one foot to the other foot? Isn't that good? The body consists of three parts, the brainium, the borax, and the abominable cavity. The brainium contains the brain, the borax contains the heart and lungs, and the abominable cavity contains the bowels, of which there are five, A, E, I, O, U. I think it was MIT. So. And here are some definitions. There was another section here on definitions. Germinate, to become a naturalized German. Planet, a body of earth surrounded by sky. And my favorite, momentum. What you give a person when they're going away. I mean, and we wonder. We're doing something wrong. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Great. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Mike calling from Charlottesville, Virginia.
What's going on, Mike?
Well, I've got a 1994 Toyota pickup that eats fan belts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the fan belt squeals, and then it squeals for a couple thousand miles, and then eventually it snaps, and the car overheats, and they got to get it replaced, and it repeats the whole thing every couple of thousand miles.
Well, at least you know what to expect.
94, this has a flat belt, right?
Yeah.
It's a flat grooved belt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have air conditioning?
I do, and sometimes it squeals more when the air conditioning's on. So if I'm stopped at a stoplight and it's squealing and people are staring at me, I usually first thing I do is just flip off the air conditioning, and sometimes it stops. But then when I accelerate, as I go through gears and accelerate it, it starts squealing again as well.
Even without the air conditioner on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm gonna. Sheesh. Is it something that's more likely to occur in the summer months? Or happen with greater frequency in the summer months.
How many times is that?
Mike, we want you to think carefully before you answer.
How many belts have you replaced?
I'm on my fourth one now.
Okay. How many of those happened in the months? Where are you from, Charlottesville?
Charlottesville, Virginia, yeah.
It's hot there from April, May, June, July, August, September.
The middle 6 months of the year, how many of them have failed during that time?
You know, I think it's happened throughout the year.
It has.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We didn't really care what your answer was.
Well.
Yeah? You going to tell them which one it is?
I mean, here's what I was leaning toward. I was leaning toward it being, I mean, it's certainly not a defective belt. We know that.
Right.
And this is the kind of a system where there's not a belt tensioner, but in fact the belt is tensioned by the guy who installs it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of two things is happening. Either the belt is getting chewed up by a bad pulley or a bad accessory. For example, if your air conditioner compressor were going bad, it could put so much of an extra load on the belt that it makes the belt slip. And once that happens, the belt wears out real quick.
Yeah.
The other possibility...
But it could be anything.
What's your goal for this truck, Mike? I mean, you see another 5 years or another 8 months?
Yeah, no, another 5 years. I'd like to drive it into the ground.
I use it
for hauling stuff, and, you know, so I'm not... It's a little banged up, and I'm not too concerned about it, but... Yeah, it's, you know, it's bothersome when the fan belt breaks.
Yeah, well,
how old is the belt that's on there now?
About 6 months, and it's starting to squeal again.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, tighten it. Do you know how to do that?
No.
Take a lesson. No, really, ask the fellow who's been changing them for you to show you how, and you might have to buy a couple of tools. I mean, a 14-millimeter wrench and a 12-millimeter wrench will do it. And then you can tighten the belt yourself.
Okay.
And maybe you can prolong it or get it to break sooner, but I'm guessing it's the AC.
Okay.
Good luck, Mike.
Good. Thanks so much, you guys.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
Wait, did we really help him?
I told him he needs a compressor.
I think he does, too. But that would mean he's not going to use the air conditioning from now until
April. That's why I suggested to him that he tighten the belt.
Yeah.
Because if he tightens the belt now and it isn't already destroyed, it will last him all winter.
It will last him all winter, exactly. And if it does last him all winter, I'm with you 100% on the compressor.
No, until the least little thing goes wrong, and then you're going to drop me. I know you, man. 1-888.
It's been known to happen.
I have history on my side. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tamara from Vancouver, Washington.
Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
I have this dilemma. We have a 1984 Volkswagen Vanagon that my family and I both, we all just love it. We take it on cross-country camping trips all the time. It's a good adventure van. But I'm just getting to this point in my life where I'd like something with some mod cons, you know, just a little more convenient, not such a big thing to drag around with me.
The Vanagon, although it was a fun vehicle.
It's really
you have
fun.
To say, it really does not have the modern...
Amenities.
Amenities. It just...
Yeah. In fact...
It's a little bit rustic.
It's downright barbaric.
Barbaric. That's the word I was looking for. Barbaric.
Yeah, something like a horn would be nice, you know, in traffic. Or...
A horn is good, yeah.
Well, I will say that... I don't know how old you are. And you don't have to divulge that unless you want to.
She's got kids. She's old enough to have kids.
I've got teenagers.
But I'm guessing you're in your early 40s.
Okay.
She'll take that.
She'll take it. She didn't act indignant.
All right. Okay. Guess how old I am, Tamara.
I think you're probably in your early 40s as well.
I'll take that.
Well, anyway.
So what's preventing you from having a few more amenities?
Well, my family all loves this car so much.
Give it to them.
Oh,
it's not worth a dime.
Except it's not very safe.
It's not safe.
No, it's not.
You know, so I'm thinking some airbags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something in front. So
yeah.
If we got in a head in with an SUV,
yeah.
We wouldn't lose our legs.
Yeah. No, I agree. So
you are picky, picky. All right. What vehicle have you sort of got your eye on?
Well, I'm really actually drooling over a Forester, but... No one else wants one. Yeah, it seems like it would fit camping gear, a dog, a couple kids.
Well, you can't, not barely. I mean, how big are the kids? They're teenagers, right?
They are.
Didn't you say you were 50?
40. She's 40. Early 40s. What a wife.
Just like you.
Just like me, exactly.
Well, the
I can't even remember the early 40s.
Yeah, and he's talking about the 1940s, not his 40s. But anyway, I think the Forester might be a little small, although I do love it.
How old are these kids?
My son is 17, and my daughter's 19.
Oh, they won't be. They don't go with you anywhere.
Well, probably not my daughter too much anymore, but my son will for a couple more years.
Why?
Because we really like him.
But does he like you?
Like you? It's not a
question. Yeah, we liked all of our kids, but they couldn't wait to get away from us.
Yeah, I love my kids.
Well, in which case, I'm going to go back to the Forester because I think your daughter is, she's gone.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your son, no, he won't be around long either.
No. Oh, this is heartbreaking.
He's going to get his own car.
You know, let me just tell you something. I have a son who's older than your son.
Uh-huh.
My son is graduated from college and living at home again.
Does he like to travel with you?
Yeah, are you kidding me? They've been buying him plane tickets. He won't leave the house. No, they sent him out for a loaf of bread, and they changed the locks from the doors. He climbed in through a window.
and despite the fact that he lives with us, I haven't seen him for 3 days. I mean, when I leave in the morning to go to get ready for this.
Whoa. What do you mean, morning?
He's still in bed, though.
Well, let me just say that by the time I leave the building, he's still asleep.
Of course.
And when I come back into the building, he's been up for a brief moment and left.
Right.
And so he's now out for the night. And
yeah.
I go to sleep at midnight or thereabouts.
The day is just starting.
He's not home.
Well, you know, this is a great example of timesharing.
I haven't seen him for 3 days.
In fact, based on this scheme, you could have 4 or 5 more kids you wouldn't even see. So, Tamara, yeah. I wouldn't worry about your daughter is, she's history. You won't see her for 5 more years. And your son is soon going to disappear. You should get the Forester. You'll love it.
How is it for reliability and repairs? I mean,
it's
is
great.
It something my husband could tinker with and do, or is it really...
No, tell him it's beyond him. You don't want to mess around with it.
Oh, really? Okay. Because well, he really likes to do that.
There's hardly a car around that you can do anything to, except for like an 84 Vanagon. You want one
That's
of them?
That's why we still have an 84 Vanagon.
Yeah, no, it is a huge blow to the male ego.
It is. It's horrible.
To open the hood and not be able to... First of all, you can't recognize anything.
Right.
You can't even see anything.
And even if you can recognize a few things, there's nothing you feel that you can fix anymore.
It's a sad change.
It is a sad change, and yeah. I think we need to do something about that. I really think it's affected the fabric of our lives. That the husband used to be outside in the, you know, front of the house tinkering with the car.
Exactly.
Till the wee hours,
and then, you know.
My uncle, I remember, used to rebuild his fuel pump every Saturday.
And then when he got a car that had an electric fuel pump, he used to open the hood and take his wrench set out and just tighten stuff. He would say, what are you tightening? I don't know, but things get loose.
With tears running down his face.
Yeah, no, because
it's very, very
he
sad.
Was reduced to uselessness. So you might want to keep the Vanagon around just so that your husband will tinker with something.
Yeah.
But don't let him touch the Forester.
I mean, there's no sense selling it. I mean, who's going to buy it, first of all? And it's not worth a dime.
Oh, but they're really popular out here in the West.
Keep it for nostalgic purposes. You can drive it around town and paint some flowers on it, put some peace signs on it, and it'll be cool.
Okay, great advice.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Melissa Gold from Whitefish, Montana.
Hi, Melissa. How
Hi,
are
Melissa.
You?
We have to warn you that we have now given several correct answers in a row, so the likelihood of our giving you a correct answer has dropped precipitously.
Okay. You have to settle an argument that I've been having with my husband for 2 years.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have a 1990 Subaru station wagon, four-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
We bought extra rims so that we could switch out the winter tires and the summer tires easily.
Good.
We put the new rims on the front, and the car wouldn't move.
Interesting.
And so my husband put washers on all of the posts sticking out between the wheel mechanism and the rim.
Good thinking.
Not really.
Yeah. I'll bet it helped. The car moved.
It worked, but it was stupid.
The car moves.
Yeah.
And so, but every time I go to have the wheels changed out.
They try to take them off.
The tire guys go, what are those?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
I don't like it.
You bought these wheels at a junkyard.
Well, no.
No?
Where did you buy them?
We bought them secondhand.
Oh, you bought them secondhand.
Yeah. Well,
They're the wrong wheels for the car. Okay? Yeah. And what's happening, and the reason the wheels won't turn is that the
brakes are on.
The brake caliper is being wedged in between the wheel and the disc. So that's why you can't turn the wheels.
Yeah.
As the brake pads wear out and that caliper slide moves closer to the middle of the car, you will create room for these wheels and you'll be able to put them on. So you need to get the right wheels, Melissa.
Well, we know what the solution is, but the argument is that my husband says that race car drivers do this, and so there's no reason why we can't do it to the Super.
And they die in fiery crashes. You see those wheels fly off? Well, here's my objection to it. By putting, how many washers are you putting behind the wheel? One or two?
Just one.
One? See, you have less thread of the nut holding on to the studs.
Yeah.
By doing this.
Because you're moving everything out.
It's certainly not what the manufacturer intended.
No.
It's not good to mess around with wheels.
So I can tell him that the car guy said, don't do it.
Yeah, it, tell him that
I mean,
don't do
the right wheel.
He paid $5 a piece for these wheels.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, for $10, you're going to risk your life. Now, if he had paid $20 a wheel,
then we'd say, go ahead and risk your life.
What the hell?
Yeah, but it isn't worth it. Even if you're from Montana, it isn't worth it. I know you risk your life every day doing 100 miles an hour, but it's not worth it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, don't even tell him.
Don't tell him?
Just go out and buy a couple of new wheels.
Yeah.
Good luck, Melissa.
Thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break.
Why do we have to take a break? I mean, why?
Well, so I can figure out the answer.
Ah, good point. Okay, we'll be back in a minute.
He found her in an old country yard. A classic two-tone 53. All beat up, broken down, a discard. But in the wink of his rearview mirror, poor man's fantasy. Now she's a good 10-foot paint job, rolling down the road, all the barn door never shut. Real good 10-foot paint job, a beauty in her day, still looks fine from far away.
And even though the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria all tack and head east when they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And I made this a very brief puzzler.
I can't remember it at all.
I didn't think you would. Here it is.
Yeah.
I got this from my son, Andrew. We were at the bookstore one day, and he was perusing one of those books that tells you if you're suitable to becoming a Mensa member. It has a book of, you know, logic puzzles
I do
and whatever.
Recall this, yes.
And, of course, he was looking at that, and I was checking out the Xena Warrior Princess calendar. I mean, they were right next to each other. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
And I did give a hint that if this puzzler were not in the Mensa wannabe book,
it would be simple.
That you'd probably get it.
Yeah.
And here it was. I'm going to give you a series of numbers.
Is this the one about the World War II planes?
Yes. Get a pencil. Write these down.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to write it down. Go ahead.
2, 9, 7, 9, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And that group of numbers, I say, represents the number 7.
7. Got it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The next group of numbers is 3, 5, 0. 3, 5, 0. And that represents the number 2.
Got it.
The question was, how would you write the number 10?
Okay. I got it. 3, 9, 12.
Exactly.
Man.
But when it was embedded in that Mensa book, you say, gee, what if I add these numbers up and they add up to the 7 cubed?
Let's see, this could be a base 13 problem.
Exactly. All we're doing is substituting each of the numbers, the 2, 9, 7, 9, 12, for the letters of the word 7.
So 2 equals S, 9 equals E. 7 equals V, and so forth.
Right, and then 350 is TWO, and thus 3, which is T, 9, which is E, and 12, which is N, spells 10.
And how many other words could you come up with these few numbers?
Well, a lot we can't say on National Public Radio. But
I got ton, one, two, two, even, Sven, Sven.
Sven.
You know what, Sven? If you live in Norway, your name is 2-7-9-12.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cool.
Sven.
Who's our winner this week?
Oh, winner. The winner is Christina Renzelman from Harvest, Alabama. And for having her answer selected at random from among the thousands of correct answers that we got, Christina is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. And with that gift certificate, she could pick up a CD of disrespectful car songs called Born Not to Run.
Sounds like your car.
One of our top sellers.
Oh, really? They're not disappointed when they realize Bruce Springsteen isn't in on it?
Yeah, that's why it's also one of our top returns.
Well, anyway,
but it looks like Bruce Springsteen, doesn't it?
It does. If you didn't look carefully.
You didn't look carefully. A lot of people have said that it bears a striking resemblance
to Buffalo Springfield. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned. In the meantime, our number, even in the meantime or not, is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
Hey, you want a new way to give the number?
Yeah. 8255.
Dear Click and Clock, I noticed Tommy's been playing with various ways to state your phone number. Not me. It's Ramey that's been playing with various ways of stating the phone. Perhaps you've already thought of this one. Roman numerals. I can only find Roman numerals up through 1,000, so I had to segment your number the way the phone company does it, rather than write one 11-digit number. Okay, and here it is.
I'm writing this down. Huh?
That's one, right?
Yeah.
DCC.
Uh-huh.
C.
C, right?
LXXX. VIII. CCXX. VII. MMM.
Yeah, I know. That's just the area code. Okay. Well, that's why that civilization crumbled, their numbering system.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Martha calling from formerly of Massachusetts, actually, West Newton, and now living in St. Peter, Minnesota.
So from West Newton to St. Peter?
You know, and by way of lots of other places.
How close are you to Bemidji?
Not close.
Not close.
That's up north.
Up north. Anyway,
yeah, I'm in southern Minnesota.
What's going on, Martha?
Well, I'm calling you about what is the correct way to jump start a car when the battery is dead?
Call and the AAA guy.
No. See, now we're above that here.
Oh.
We wanted to do it ourselves.
Oh, you self-reliant Minnesotans would
Who's we?
The story goes that it was the first day that we dropped our children off at school, and a group of moms got together to have coffee, some to commiserate, some to celebrate that the children were at school.
Yeah, if it's your first kid,
you
celebrate. If it's the third, you commiserate.
Exactly. And one of my friends left the lights on in her car.
Yeah.
And when we went to leave, there were still about a half dozen of us or so left. She came back in, said, "I need jumper cables. My car won't start."
Yeah.
Which then ensued the discussion of, does it go positive to positive, negative to ground, or positive to positive, negative to negative? And I, being taught by my older brother, said, it's positive to positive, negative to ground.
Good for you, Martha.
Well, now I like to hear that. But the problem then that it came later was neither thing started the car.
Oh, you tried it both ways? No.
Well, no, by the time I got there, I think they had already tried it. The positive to positive, negative to negative. I said, oh, no, you just need to move this. And then the car still didn't start, so she had to come back later with her husband. She went back later and put the charger on.
Oh.
And then the car started and everything was fine.
Well, you were all on the right track in that it's positive to positive and negative to negative. I mean, don't ever make the mistake of hooking positive to negative. That's an absolute verboten.
That's real bad.
That causes explosions.
So then what is the difference between why was I taught by my brother and why does it say on the tag of the jumper cables?
Yeah.
To go positive to positive, negative to
ground.
Right. They don't want you making the last connection, wherever it is, and it should be the negative, at the battery. And the reason they don't want that is if there's anything that's going to cause a spark, they don't want us, and it will, when you make that last connection, you start to send current from the good battery to the dead one,
right.
You'll almost always get a spark of some kind.
Okay.
If one of the batteries, either the good one or the bad one, is doing something called outgassing,
okay,
it can cause an explosion.
So you don't want the spark to happen where there might be, possibly could be,
aha,
hydrogen.
So you can jump it either way, but it may be safer to go to the ground.
It is safer.
It may be safer.
It is
safer.
This is good news.
Well, yes, it is, isn't it?
Now, as to why your friend's car wouldn't start, we've discovered in most cases, when people unsuccessfully try to jumpstart a car, the car doesn't start because, number one, the battery they're trying to jump is deadzo and can't be jumped by anything.
And that wouldn't have been true in your case, because how long was coffee? You didn't have coffee for 6 or 7 hours, did you?
No, you wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
But number two, and more likely, is that you had a bad connection.
Uh-huh.
And then the third reason is that most jumper cables are junk. And the gauge of the wire is so small that, in fact, that is a high number. Gauges go in reverse of the thickness of the wire, that they can't send enough current from the good battery to the dead battery. If you wait long enough,
It'll
get through. But if you hook it up for 2 minutes and you say, oh, it didn't start, you didn't wait long enough.
Uh-huh.
Good jumper cables would start the thing immediately.
Okay.
Cheap jumper cables, you got to go for another cup of coffee.
Or you have to go in like an old Volkswagen that you can push it down a hill and then jump.
Yeah, like those good old days.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Martha, if you're going to live in Minnesota, you ought to get yourself a world-class set of jumper cables.
Well, I think so.
Because you're going to need them. Winter starts any day now.
Yeah,
up there.
I think tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow. Good luck.
Thanks for your time.
All righty. Thanks for your call.
She
bye-bye.
Could actually even buy them from us. Wouldn't that be something?
I'm not selling my jumper cables to anybody. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, hi, this is Kai calling from Waltham, Massachusetts.
Kai?
Yes.
K-A-I?
Yes, that's it. You're good.
Really?
Yeah.
What language is that?
Oh, it's German. I'm from Germany.
Ah, that's not a German name.
No, it's from a Scandinavian fairy tale, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the fairy tale?
Oh, I don't know that. My mother knows that. It's Hans Christian Andersen is the author.
It is?
Yeah.
What's your mother's number?
we need to talk.
Well, it's 011 and so on, yes.
So what's up, Kai?
Well, I have a 91 Honda CRX HF, and I failed the state inspection.
Oh.
The hydrocarbons were just barely over the limit.
Mm.
The limit is 120, and I've got 125.
Not bad.
So I decided I can deal with that, change the oil, change the air filter, change the fuel filter. And then I did the miracle cure. I bought Guaranteed to Pass, which I found at an auto parts store.
Oh, this is a liquid that you add to the gas tank.
Exactly.
It's called Guaranteed to Pass?
I never saw
this
one.
That's a pretty cool name, I
thought.
That's
perfect.
So I did all that, filled up with premium gasoline, went again to the retest, and now it's up to 158.
Yeah. Did you get your money back from the Guaranteed to Pass
No,
stuff?
I still have to write into them.
Jeez. Yeah. So did you change the spark plugs? Did I hear you say that you changed the spark plugs?
No,
I did
not change
well,
the
spark plugs. Well, the spark plugs often, it's often the case that you're failing the hydrocarbon test by having spark plugs which are not combusting the fuel efficiently.
Oh, that sounds easy enough, actually.
Yeah. So, also, you said you put premium gas in?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
It just seemed like a good idea.
Do something good for the car, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, see, that's...
Maybe it burns better.
That's what the guys who sell that container are hoping that you will do. They are hoping that you do 6 or 7 other things, not the least of which might be slipping $50 to the guy who's doing the test. But they're hoping
you got that advice.
Yeah.
But if you do enough other things, it may be that you pass and you say, "Geez, I guess this stuff really worked."
How many miles on this car?
Oh, over 200,000.
Oh, and when was the last time you replaced spark plugs?
Oh, that was 3 years ago.
Oh, then the chances are the spark plugs could do it.
Okay.
But make sure you do it correctly.
I've done it before, but that was when I was totally clueless, and I had real problems getting the old ones out because some kind of seal or something stayed on the bottom.
Oh, yes.
I couldn't get the...
Yeah.
Yeah, what stuck on the bottom was the end of the spark plug tube.
Yeah, so I had to get some special pliers to get it out in the end.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the way you build a good tool collection.
Yeah.
By making mistakes.
Yeah, and having troubles, and you say, oh, I need those extra long needle nose pliers. Boy, those are going to come in handy. And
they will.
Yeah, and you use them
like tomorrow.
So change the plugs, and I'm gonna guarantee, what was the stuff called again? Guaranteed to pass.
Guaranteed to pass.
My brother's gonna guarantee you
absolutely.
Pass.
Absolutely.
Double money back.
Double your money back.
See you later, Kai.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
It's Cheryl from Philadelphia.
Oh, Cheryl. Who's Cheryl? Leaves all. My wife knows someone named Cheryl.
Yeah,
except
with a C or with an S.
With a C.
That's the best way.
Yeah.
It is,
it's
C-H-E-R-Y-L.
That's right.
That's you, too, huh?
Well, that's the traditional.
That is the traditional way.
Yeah.
Okay. And where are you from?
I'm from Philadelphia. Actually, I'm from New Jersey, but I live in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're all the same.
And I have a bet with my brother. He's got a 71 Ford Maverick.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the fuel tank rotted out, and he couldn't find a replacement for it. So he does his own stuff. And he took the fuel line and attached it to two boat tanks, which he has in the trunk. And so he goes to the gas station. It's New Jersey, so you have someone else that has to fill them up. Our bet is that I think it's really dangerous, and he said that it's not dangerous because the tank is in the back anyway.
Now, they have filled these tanks thinking that he's just taking this gasoline to his boat.
To his boat.
Yeah. They realize that they're permanently...
He's driving the boat. This is quite a boat, huh?
He's an avid fisherman.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You throw a few fishing rods in the back, maybe a stinky decaying tuna, and you're all set.
Gee.
Well, I think it's dangerous. First of all, unless he's got the things welded in place somehow, there's always the risk that in an accident they're going to go flying around. It's got to be illegal. But wait a minute, it's New Jersey.
It's New Jersey. Well, I don't know how dangerous it is. I mean, it might really not be dangerous. I mean, for example, my brother says if the things are going to float around if you have an accident, if they were really firmly embedded in the trunk so that they couldn't tip over, they couldn't move, like if he had it propped up with 2x4s.
Oh, you fill the trunk with those peanuts. You order a whole bunch of stuff from L.L. Bean.
Yeah, and you just fill up the trunk with it.
And whatever the packing material is...
The truth is that you could make it much safer than the real gas tank. Because, I mean, the real gas tank,
so
first of all...
Wait, so then he wins the bet then.
The real gas tank is about 2 mils thick. The jerry can is a half an inch thick. I mean, it's got to be a lot stronger.
And you might be able to place the jerry cans farther from the rear bumper than the gas tank originally was.
Sure, I mean, it might actually be safer.
So it's like they should be doing this in all models of cars.
They should be.
Yeah, I mean, I would not want to be the judge about this, about whether or not it's safe.
Well,
I don't want to be the judge.
Here's the danger.
Nor does my lawyer want me to be the judge.
No, here's the danger. Because the things are in a sealed trunk and gasoline expands in hot weather and he doesn't have the thing vented correctly and it's venting probably into the passenger compartment, that's where the danger is.
Or even if it's just venting into the trunk itself, which it obviously is.
And here's the scenario. You have a flat tire. You can't find the jack.
So you light a
match.
Light a match. To look.
Yeah.
Bingo.
I think it's dangerous for that reason.
I like that.
And not necessarily for what might happen in an accident.
Yeah, the fumes.
The fumes.
Oh, okay.
I go for fumes.
And the possibility of spontaneous combustion.
So I win.
So what did you bet? What are you going to win?
Well, I should have put money on it, but I didn't.
Oh, you didn't.
So I don't
just
win
a
anything.
Bet.
I just have the satisfaction
a dope slap.
Of winning.
Who gets the dope slap? It's one of those bets.
This is just bragging rights bet.
That's right.
Well, I'm with you, Cheryl.
Well, I would suggest to your brother that even if he cannot find a gas tank, there are ways to fix the existing gas tank.
Such as?
Well, one of the things is you can have it, assuming there's something left of it, you can have it coated with fiberglass. From the inside.
Yeah, they'll laminate it.
And the outside. Yeah, take it down to the lamination store. You can always find a gas tank. I mean, he just hasn't looked hard enough because he's lazy.
Well, he did find two.
He got two. He can find a gas tank. And even if the one he finds is not in great shape, he can have it fiberglassed, and he will have a gas tank that's, I think, a better deal.
Well,
than the one
let's
he's
ask
got
the
now.
Real important question. If anything tragic were to happen to your brother, would you get his room?
No, she's getting his car.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want the car.
See you, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Tommy, it seems like you need a little time out right now, don't you think?
Is this so I can think about all the wrong answers that I've come up with today?
Well, not really. We only have a minute. We'll be right back.
I've got an 89 Dodge Colt. Station wagon, it's blue. It's got some rust up on the roof that I gotta get to. It's a honkadelic relic given to us by my mother-in-law when we lived in L.A. back in 92. It still runs good after all these years, mainly thanks to Bob. The radio works fine, but the AC's shot. And the back seats both fold forward so I can load up my band stuff. And I got my system down so it holds a lot.
And even though blue-haired leaf peepers suddenly veer into roadside vegetable stands when we say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new, new...
automotive?
I'll help you. I hate to assign a descriptor to this puzzle.
Is it automotive?
No.
Is it quasi-automotive? Is it quasi-automotive, master?
Only if you drove to the guy's house.
Is it non-automotive?
There you go.
Is it algebraic?
Could be.
Is it folkloric?
Maybe.
Is it historic?
Oh, no.
Is it complete horse feathers?
Probably.
Okay, go ahead.
Here it is.
We don't want to name it. The thing you can name is not the truth. Everyone knows
exactly.
That. The Dow says that.
Yes, the Dow or the NASDAQ?
NASDAQ, too.
A fellow finds himself at a party, of all places, at Bill Gates' house. So he's standing there, and who should be standing next to him but Bill Gates?
The man himself.
And, of course, the fellow introduces himself, and the fellow says, gee, this is a pretty big living room you have. And it's jam-packed with people. And Gates says, well, how many people do you think are here? The fellow says, geez, I don't know. He said, looking around, I have to guess maybe about 1,100. Gates says, that's very good. He said, there are about 1,100 people. He said, you're very good with numbers. And the fellow says, oh, thank you so much. And if this gets too long, let me know.
No. I'm fascinated so far.
You'll just doze off.
When you get through with this, I got to tell you about a dream my wife had.
All right. Oh, yes. I know this dream. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. Now, so Gates says,
you're very good with numbers.
And he said, you went to games of chance or anything like that? Oh, no, the fellow says. He said, the chances thing I ever get involved in is tossing a coin. Gates says, that's interesting. He said, do you think you could toss a coin 10 times in a row and call it correctly every time? The fella says, I don't think so. He said, well, want to make a little bet? He said, because I can do it.
Ooh.
He said, I can call a coin 10 times in a row. He said, but after all, I'm Bill Gates and you're not.
And you're not.
And the fellow, of course, declines. No, I said, I don't think I want to bet. He said, I don't think I can call it 10 times in a row. I don't think you can either, but I don't want to bet. And Gates says,
then get out of my party.
Gates says, you think there's anyone in this room that could call it 10 times in a row correctly? And the fellow says, well, I suppose there's a chance, he said, but it's got to be a pretty small chance. And Gates says, I'll tell you what.
I'll pick anyone at random.
Is this your puzzle or my puzzle?
No.
He said, I think there is some. I said, I'll bet you there is someone who can call it correctly. He said, here's what calling correctly consists of. If I tossed a coin, okay, I can call it, and if I'm right, that's a win for me. Or if I tossed a coin and you call it, and it's incorrect, that's a win for me. Right? Mm-hmm. So imagine I tossed a coin.
And I say heads.
And I say, as the coin tosser, I say heads, it comes up heads, I win.
Right.
I tossed a coin, you call it. Mm-hmm. You say heads. If it's heads, I lose.
Yeah.
If it's tails.
Right.
I win, even though I didn't call it.
I'm with you.
Okay, so that's the rule of the game. So Gates says, you think there's someone in the room that can do that? And he says, no. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a bet. I'll bet you $10 million to your 1,000 that it can happen in this room. There's one person who can have 10 in a row.
Yeah.
The guy says, you're on.
Of course.
Should he have taken the bet? If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard.
I like it.
Or the deed for a centrally located two-bedroom floor through with eat-in kitchen, granite countertops, central air, and off-street parking downtown Boston, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Grace from Hamden, Connecticut.
Grace. How's everything in Hamden?
It's great so far.
Good.
I have an 89 Subaru station wagon, and it has a number of problems. But there's one, I'll start with this first one. The car in the morning doesn't want to accelerate past 20 for, I mean, 3 or 4 blocks. And we live on a small street that turns onto the main thoroughfare into New Haven. So in the morning, everybody's driving down that road about 60 miles an hour, and I'm driving 20 when I first turn on. I've tried flooring it.
And what happens when you floor it? It just doesn't go.
No, the engine gets really loud. It starts roaring really loudly.
Oh,
it doesn't do anything.
Oh, Gracie.
Oh, Grace.
You're in trouble.
Oh, no, really?
It's going to cost you a fortune.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I don't want to spend any money on this car.
You don't have to.
You can just leave it by the side of the road.
Oh, no.
Oh, Grace.
You have an automatic transmission?
Of course
yes.
She does.
It's too bad.
That's too bad.
Oh, no, you mean I'm supposed to shift out of one?
No,
it's supposed to shift out of one.
It's slipping. There are various reasons for that, the most common of which is the transmission is done for.
Uh-oh.
But it doesn't mean that you couldn't be real lucky if you have led a good, clean life. And it's possible that something simple like you're low on transmission fluid is causing the problem. That's very unlikely because no one could lead that clean a life.
No, it's more likely that your torque converter and your clutches are cooked.
Yeah.
But
it wouldn't hurt to check the transmission fluid and make sure that it's gutted.
And if it's really dirty, you can try changing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be the second step.
You can have someone change the filter and the fluid in the gasket, and that might help.
And if you've led a somewhat good life, then that would make it work. But if you've been the evil thing that I think you have been...
uncaring about your fellow motorists.
Then it's going to cost you $2,000.
If I just ignore it and don't do anything, will it just keep running the same way, though? Or
no, it's likely to get worse in a hurry.
Okay.
How long has it been doing this 20-mile-an-hour thing?
Oh, well, see, I bought it used, and I got it about a year ago.
Yeah, has it been doing this for a year?
Ever since I bought it.
Ooh.
And he said that it would run till it has like 230,000 miles on it.
Well, it will, but only at 20 miles an hour. He didn't mention that.
No, drive it. I mean, check the obvious stuff. If your mechanic thinks changing the fluid will help, and I think it will, then I would go ahead and do that. But don't do it without changing the filter, too.
Okay.
And if that doesn't help, drive it till it drops, and then you can decide what to do.
Okay.
But it is dangerous driving at 20 when everyone else is doing 60, so you might want to find an alternate route for that first couple of miles of driving so that it has a chance to warm up, or drive around the block 7 or 8 times.
Okay. And one other question.
Yeah.
I took it in the shop because it was smoking all the time, and it smells like smoke all the time, and the guy says that it leaks like the Exxon Valdez.
Oh, really?
My question is, will that smoke ever become like flames, or is it just always going to smoke and that's fine?
Good, I'd wear your sneakers if you buy this car so you can get away fast.
Well, see, the lucky part is that you'll only be going 20 when the fire breaks out, and you'll be able to just jump out and have a running start.
Well, yeah, it's possible.
It is possible to burst into flame.
The most
yes.
common areas of leakage on these things are the camshaft seals and the valve covers and the oil pan and the oil pump and the oil pressure switch, all of which cause the leaks to go onto the exhaust system, which is pretty hot.
Right.
So it's possible for the thing to catch fire.
Oh, it is.
It's possible, yeah.
Hmm.
So, but I wouldn't worry about that. I think the transmission will give out before that ever happens. Good luck, Grace.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
And next time you buy a car, Grace, even though the price seems right, you really ought to have a mechanic check it out, because a mechanic would certainly have seen all those oil leaks.
Well, it came from a mechanic shop.
They
told me they looked at everything before they sold it to me.
And you believed a mechanic who was selling you a car?
Yes.
Are you interested in a bridge? Oh, jeez.
Grace.
Well, see, you are a nice person then. You're a trusting person, and it's coming back to get you.
Yeah. guess.
Yeah, this will make you wiser and stronger.
Okay.
We hope. See you later.
And more cynical, like the rest of us.
1-888.
That's too bad.
It is unfortunate. Well, it's just, it's the nicest people.
Who get it, yeah.
Who get taken advantage of.
Yeah, I know. I know that, boy, through bitter experience.
Never happens to you, does it?
Never happens to me.
Every experience with you is bitter. 1-888-227-8255, which happens to be 1-888-CAR-TALK.
What? What are the chances of that?
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim calling from Woburn, Mass.
Hey.
So what's up, man?
Okay, the saga starts. I was driving home on the highway, and my thermostat maxed out, and then the dreaded red check engine light comes on. Mm-hmm. I knew that was trouble, but I was trying to get home. I was in Connecticut at the time.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, there's a green smoke bellowing into the car. I had a passenger in the car that was sort of hot.
And you said, I know I can make it. It's only 110 miles.
That's exactly what I was saying. But needless to say, we didn't make it. I barely got. I was in the right lane, barely pulled off. And so anyway, that's how it all started. So what happened, the diagnosis was a blown heater core.
Yeah, I figured that. Either you have to have a Ford Taurus or a Volkswagen.
Actually, it's a 93 Honda Civic.
Oh, exactly. That was my third choice.
So I see a couple options. The first one, obviously, what you guys are thinking, is get it fixed. But I'm getting prices anywhere from $500 to $1,000 because it's a very labor-intensive project from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and unnecessarily so, but that's another topic
right.
for another day.
And I'm the kind of guy, I can basically change my oil and change a flat. Beyond that, don't ask me to do any car work. So I'm thinking I'm going to get my whole dashboard out, which this project involves, that I'm not going to be able to get it back in. So I'm looking for an alternate heat source.
There you go.
So you see where I'm going, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was immediately going to suggest that you just take it out of the circuit, which is relatively easy to do.
I might add before we go any further,
right.
Jim.
Yeah.
That it's likely that the head gasket is going to blow in about 6 weeks anyway.
Oh, perfect.
So
what you were hoping for.
Well, because you overheated it so badly.
Okay.
You stretched the head gasket beyond the point where it can return to normal service.
So what are we looking at for a bill on that?
Oh, that's $1,000. Everything's $1,000.
Oh, okay. So we'll just round it to okay.
So we'll just round it off.
$1,000.
To $1,000. That's why I don't think you should fix the heater core.
Perfect. That's what I want to hear. That's what I'm looking for you guys to tell me. I thought you were going to think I was crazy, but okay, go ahead.
I mean, so for the next 6 weeks, you won't have any heat, but you can wear your Bronco Nagurski long underwear.
What if my mother gets in the car?
Nobody will get in the car with you.
Okay. No. No, and the thing is that you may think you can tough it out now.
Right.
We've had a couple of chilly days. You say, oh, this isn't so bad. I'll wear a hat. I'll wear gloves. But I'll tell you, when it's 9 degrees and it's snowing and the window is so fogged up that you can't see, you'll pay $3,000 for that heater core. And understand that the price will be inflated when the appropriate season arises.
Okay.
Yeah, and there may, in fact, be alternative sources of heat.
Okay.
But the truth is that the defroster is really the biggest issue.
So there's no alternate, in other words, there's no sort of a small heater, like a space heater that you could get for an RV or something that would plug into my cigarette lighter that would heat the car.
There are, I suppose, but no, there's not one of them that can heat the car.
Right.
I don't think you can pull enough energy out of that the charging system to heat the car. I could be wrong.
That's what I'm concerned about.
One advantage you have is that it is a pretty small car, and you might want to go and buy one of these things.
How much value, Jim, do you place on your life?
Exactly.
You could also get yourself a nice little propane heater. And you flop it up on the front seat.
I could grill some hot dogs.
And you could grill hot dogs, and you could aim it, you know. And those work. You get plenty of heat out of them.
Right.
You'll be dead in an hour.
Well, here's what I was going to say.
If it doesn't blow you up, it'll suck up all the oxygen in the passenger compartment, and you'll be dead.
I think this is a job you should undertake yourself.
Okay, you do.
You could do it. I mean, it is a lot of work.
And you'll need the book.
Right, I went to the Chilton's book.
No good. You need the actual Honda service manual.
Okay.
It's like about $900, I think.
Right, exactly.
No, it's $1,000. Everything's $1,000.
And then sit down and read it, and if after reading it you say, oh, there's no way I could do this.
Right.
But it'll give you step-by-step instructions.
I remember we did this once many, many years ago before we really knew anything about cars. And we had decided we were going to do a job on my truck. So I went to GM and I bought the manual. And we were flipping through it one day to see how big. I forgot what the job was. But I looked at the page and there were like six steps. And we said, piece of cake, we can do this. Finally, we decide to actually do it, and we notice that the first step is remove engine.
Right, okay.
So be careful when you get the book. Make sure you read it carefully so you know what you're really getting into.
Okay.
And a friend and a camera will help tremendously.
Yeah, because you'll never remember what stuff looked
like. That's what I'm you know, afraid of. And little
containers into which you can put clips. There are a million clips and screws. You won't believe it.
No, this is sounding worse and worse.
No, you'll never get it back together again. But you'll be the only one driving to work with a dashboard less.
Right.
The
The dashboard is not everything it's cracked up to be. And the car will still run. You might want to just take the dashboard out, put the heater core in, and leave everything else off.
Right.
I mean, if it doesn't go back together, what do you care? You'll have heat.
Right. Doesn't matter anyway. Just put an extra blank.
Now,
on.
You can do it, Jim, but get the book.
Okay.
And if it looks too daunting, then pay the money because you'll freeze this winter.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Good luck.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've devaluated another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive.
Do you mean Bongo Boy Berman?
Bongo Boy Berman. Our esteemed producer is Doug Bongo Boy Berman. I love it.
And you know to whom we owe this? And he wants us to make sure that Berman knows. Who else?
His father.
John Bugsy Lawler. I spoke to him just this morning. He said, when you give it to Dougie, make sure he knows it was me who thought of it.
Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David Watch Out for Falling Prices Green. Our engineer is Tad Shrimp Curry. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his record-breaking Walk for Hunger, W-O-K, at the Greater Raynham Stir Fry, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge and Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. Our shop foreman is Luke Busy. Our new truck reviewer is Zbigniew Rig. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our pseudonym consultant is Noam DePlume. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our bungee jumping instructor is Hugo First. The Car Talk travel agent is Lois Fair Available. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester, of course, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey. Known to the out-of-work physicists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And whatever you do, don't drive like my brother.
And I have some advice. Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1441, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, lots of shows to download.
Yeah, remember, if you ever miss our show unintentionally,
of course,
you can always grab the podcast at cartalk.com.
Or download a previous show.
Sure, if you've got a root canal coming up and want to divert the pain to your ears, get access to our free Car Talk podcast and years of cheap downloads anytime you want over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the Nobel Committee creates a special prize for asininity whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.